Holy Gospel according to St. John. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." Saying this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples and said, "I have seen the Lord." Well, this little fact probably got by most of you, but on the Texas Tech campus this last week was, if there was such a thing, a Hall of Fame sociologist came to speak. Can't imagine how you missed that. His name is Jeff Alexander, and I was reading his work 25 years ago when I was in grad school. He's chair of the department at Yale University. Big stuff. And he was talking about what he called cultural trauma. Technical word, I guess. But the punchline to the talk was this. He said, "All progress starts with trouble." And I'm going, well, there's Easter in five words. You know, there aren't that many new ideas, and you don't need to be a Hall of Fame sociologist to figure that out. All progress starts with trouble. Made me think of a trick question posed to, thankfully, when I was a young seminarian, to one of my classmates who walked right into the trap. And the trap was from our theology professor, who looked at all of us and said, "Tell me the essence of the gospel." And my poor colleague said, "Love thy neighbor." And I thought, "Oh, you poor soul. Love thy neighbor. That's not the gospel." And he was rather forthrightly told, "That's the law. Love thy neighbor. That's the bad news. Because you can't. At least you can't well enough. And when you do, well, you feel a little smug about it at the end of the day, don't you?" Reminded me of another piece we learned from my preaching professor, who said the worst news you can get in church is you got to be more like Jesus. You got to be more like Jesus. Jesus was an uncommonly good sport. And even Martin Luther said, "Be ye little Christs one unto another," which my preaching professor said, "That's good news. You don't have to be the big one." Because the implication of all of this bad news, which is bad news before it's good news, is you don't measure up. And all it does is it sort of scares the hell right into us. And a lot of what masquerades for good news is really bad news. But it needs to be in some sense, because all progress starts with trouble. And the progress that created Christianity was Jesus walking out of the tomb and essentially saying one word. The word he knew would get her attention. It's the same word that gets all of our attention. I mean, it's a different word, but it's the same word. It's the sound of our own name. We stop and we listen. And she got it. Well, I want to celebrate Easter today with our names. And there's an interactive component to this. The title of this sermon is "Insert Your Name Here." And from time to time, I'm going to go with a little less drama, just. And at that point, I simply want you to say out loud your own name. Let's try that.
Jane.
There you go. Not too hard. Celebrate Easter in three specific ways. Try to the best of your ability, and pray when your ability falls short for strength, to put your worst day in a drawer. That's sort of metaphorical. I think shortly before Lent started, I made a vow that during Lent I would sacrifice some time and clean out my dresser, which had gotten to the point over 15 years that it had everything in it but things you use to dress yourself, right? So I did that. I now have a more or less empty drawer. And for the sake of symmetry, since this is Easter, going back to the start of Lent, I wonder if you could metaphorically put your worst day in a drawer. Nobody knows better than you when you stepped in it the hardest. And maybe nobody knows the full story except you, but you know it. And every once in a while, when you are just bound and determined to beat yourself up with something, you remember that. You sort of absorb it. You know, you kind of carry it around with you. It's a metaphor for guilt. And no one would suggest that you should completely forget about your worst day, because it taught you a little something. But put it in a drawer. All of the things that incapacitate you with self-doubt, with remorse, with guilt. Pack it into your worst day. Put it into a drawer. Close the drawer. You can go in there and wallow in it if you want to from time to time, but you don't have to. And it's always there. And from it, you can move forward. So to celebrate Easter, I would like you to repeat after me. I will put my worst day in a drawer. Fair enough. Second thing I'd like you to try. Suspend judgment. Suspend judgment. Now, that's impossible. You cannot not judge what's right or wrong for you. You cannot not judge what makes you happy, what makes you sad or angry or fearful. You can't even not judge things other people say and do that you disagree with. What you can do is avoid taking the next step from judgment to character assassination. That is, we can reasonably and even agreeably disagree about ideas without turning a disagreement into an insult. That is to say, I can disagree with what you believe or stand for without having to tell you what a weak-willed, immoral, horrible, rotten person you are. You see the difference? It is the essence of what changes degradation back into discourse. Reasonable disagreement moves us forward into the exchange of ideas, maybe even progress. A character assassination simply mires us in the mud. So, as a way of celebrating Easter, even think about the people with whom you most profoundly disagree and who post things on your Facebook that drive you nuts and you just want to say something back, and then that's okay. At least try not to say back what turns them into villains. Disagreements do not have to degenerate into degradation. So, let's try this. I
Jane.
I messed that up, didn't I? I
Jane.
Will suspend judgment,
on
others' character.
Others' character.
Celebrate Easter that way. And thirdly, this is sort of simplistic. I think another way to celebrate Easter, and maybe the most profound way, and it loops back to this whole love thy neighbor thing, is to feel the love. Feel the love. Ran across an old newspaper cartoon this week, and it was sort of a question-answer-question kind of a thing. And in the first panel, one character said to the other, "Why do they call it Good Friday? I mean, it was a terrible day. He got himself strung up on a cross and crucified. Terrible day." And the other person responds by saying, "If you were set to be strung up on a cross and crucified, and somebody offered to take your place, how would you feel?" Last panel, Good. Good Friday. That can only happen out of immense and enormous love. So feel the love, in a sense. Now, this is not easy to do, and let me illustrate it this way. Everybody I know, and I'm pretty sure everybody in this room, has had the experience, if not this year, but at some point, in just the immediate run-up to Christmas. You go out and you get the mail, and you get a Christmas card, and you go, oh, no, I got a Christmas card, and I didn't send them one. You got to rummage around through the drawer, and oh, my gosh, if we got one left, maybe from 2 years ago, I can at least, I got to get even, right? And maybe you do, and maybe you don't, but if that's the first thing you do, what you miss is to feel the love. And out of that sense of being loved, if you wish to respond in kind, well, that's called ministry. Love thy neighbor is not something you can be commanded to do. It's something you can be compelled to do by feeling the love first. And here's the interesting part to me. Everybody feels and shares love and is capable of it. On our deathbeds, as very small children, and everywhere in between, we know what it's like to feel the warmth of someone else's touch and to hear the gentle words, I care, I'm here, I love you. And out of that sense of being loved, I don't think you can stop it. I think it's inevitable that you can give it back, that you can spread it into the world. So to celebrate Easter, we've already said we'll put our worst day in a drawer. We'll suspend judgment on others' character. So I will feel the love. We used to sing the song In the Garden, you know, as a closing moment at summer camp. And it took me probably 35 years after that to realize that that song, He Walks With Me and He Talks With Me and He Tells Me I'm His Own, is a musical and lyrical retelling of Jesus encountering Mary Magdalene in the garden. In the garden, of course. It took me a while to figure that out. But He walks and talks with us, even still. It's interesting to me that the very last words Jesus said from the cross were, it is finished. And the next words He said, apart from a little back and forth with Mary, like, who do you think you are? Who do you think I am? The very next thing He said was her name. I mean, it almost sounds like a joke. Guy walks out of a cave. And he says, let's try that again. Guy walks out of a cave. Next thing he says,
Jane.
Happy Easter.